I look like a stripper mermaid.
Oh, are you kidding me? You look amazing. Uh-huh. And I'd bang you standing up if I swung that way.
Rachel, tell the truth. Do I or do I not look like a stripper mermaid?
I mean, this is how all the girls on these shows dress, okay? Uh-huh. Sequins pop. Cleavage communicates a certain willingness to participate in the process.
No. I brought my own dress. I'll wear that.
That'd be great if you're accepting the Nobel Prize, not trying to catch a husband.
Okay, I don't even know how to talk to people with my tits out this far.
Well, good news, no one's gonna be listening, just staring. Come on, Rachel. Ugh, I can't believe I let you talk me into her.
To the small screen now, and you might remember back at the beginning of 2018, there were posters on buses and all around town getting us ready for the new season of a show called Unreal, a slick melodrama set behind the scenes of a reality TV dating show, a lot like The Bachelor. And that's no accident, because its co-creator, Sarah Gertrude Shapiro, was a producer on that show. Well, on the eve of season 3 launching on Stan at the beginning of 2018, Sarah spoke to me from New York. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to The Hub on Screen.
Thanks so much.
Tell me, this third series goes from being The Bachelor to The Bachelorette, really. You've got now a female contestant at the center of all the on-set drama, at least. Tell me about that change. What brought that about?
Yeah, I think from the inception of the series, you know, when I pitched and sold the show, one of the things that I was really excited about and what an aspect of the show that the network was very excited about was the quality sort of built into the show that we can change and grow it every season by recreating the show within the show. And so I think A Bachelorette was always on the menu. We sort of knew it was headed that way. And having worked on both The Bachelor and Bachelorette in my producing life, I was really fascinated in deconstructing the gender politics that go into the flip. When you sort of invert the gender norms between those two shows, I think it's really, I thought it would be a really fertile ground to explore in terms of the stuff that we're interested in. So I was really excited to have a sutress, as we call her, and season 3 just seemed like the right time to do it.
Yeah, I mean, what is the difference, do you think, between a show based on this sort of concept, which is about, you know, you've got all these contestants vying for the hand in marriage, if you like, of the bachelor or bachelorette? I mean, what is the sort of dynamic change that happens when you've got a female at the center of the attention and, you know, as opposed to a male?
So from a very practical producing standpoint, it was a lot harder to get the guys to talk shit about each other. I remember an interview where I was asking a guy something along the lines of like, hey, Gary, don't you think Ben was sort of, you know, throwing you side eye? It seems like he's really making a move on the girl. And he's like, that guy's cool.
What's that about? Is that men don't, I mean, look, that's a kind of cliche though, right? That, or a stereotype about men that they, or women perhaps, that they're more bitchy than men are and so forth. But is that true in your experience then?
Well, yeah, in my experience, like, men and women are socialized very differently. I don't know if we're different when we come out at birth, but I think we are socialized very differently. And I think it's sort of frowned upon in general in groups of men for men to talk shit about each other in sort of petty ways or backstabby ways. I will say, though, that I worked on The Bachelor so long ago that I think things have really changed. And while I don't watch the show, the little snippets that I have seen, it seems to me that the men have evolved to be almost as bitchy as the women now.
Now, of course, you're quite famous in being, you know, pretty upfront about your time working on The Bachelor and the little tricks that you'd have to pull really behind the scenes to make the girls cry, the young women cry, especially because, you know, these shows really, you know, a key moment in these shows is always when someone cries. And so, you know, you've been upfront about talking about having lemon in your pocket to make yourself go a bit teary to then elicit tears from the contestant and so forth. Are there any things that particularly stick in your mind still that haunt you from those days?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's one sort of moment that I based my short film on, and the short film is what I based the show on. So the short film is called Sequin Rays, and that's a film I wrote and directed that was sort of inspired by a night that was the night that I decided I needed to quit my job. But it was when I really took down this young woman who was an attorney in a way that was so brutal that when she was packing up to leave the show, she looked me in the eye and said, you know, you ruined my life.
You ruined her life. Wow.
Yeah, and I think she meant it. And from what I know, and I actually don't have all the facts, so some of this is very murky, but from what I know, she actually did go home and lose her job, I think because she was a litigator, and we had made her out to really look like a psycho stalker and, like, kind of mentally unstable. So we did really impact her life, and I had done something really anti-feminist, and I did feel very, very bad about it. And I think what made me feel even worse about it is, if I remember correctly, and again, it's very murky, was a long time ago, but I think I said something about her being fat to make her feel bad about herself. And I am like a dyed-in-the-wool feminist, and especially I'm a body activist. And so that was like sort of the worst thing I could have ever done.
Wow. I mean, I'm thinking that making Unreal has been in some way penance for you, or at least therapy, in terms of, because it is a show that places front and center all this terrible behavior, the culture of manipulation and so forth. And it's incredibly dramatically satisfying because of that, of course. But it is about people behaving terribly and against their better judgment. Well, at least against their better judgment when it comes down to Rachel, the character of Rachel, who's sort of like the deputy of Quinn, who is this beautiful, very powerful woman who sort of runs the show. And Rachel is her deputy, who is always having problems in dealing with what she's doing, I suppose. Was it therapeutic creating a character like Rachel?
Yeah, I do think I've worked out a lot of my issues through the show. I think that in some ways it's an atonement for what I did and my contribution to the culture of reality television, because, you know, certainly now we see that reality television is no joke. It gave us our president. And the culture that we're living in now is very, very informed by sort of the meanness of reality television and bully TV. And I also think we're living in a post-fact era and a sort of a post-truth era, which is really terrifying. And I feel like that's also been informed a lot by reality TV, that nobody really cares if it's true. They just want to see that it's fun or that it's entertaining. And you're just the biggest bully in the room, or you're the biggest dick in the room, or you have the biggest sound bites, or you're the biggest personality, or you're the biggest asshole, whatever it is, just big, splashy, big, horrible stuff that has no concern for fellow man and no ethic to it and no truth to it. And all that stuff feels really bad to me. I'm really upset that that's the world we're living in right now. And it's a little bit of an atonement for having contributed to the early days of reality TV, I think.
Well, tell me about this character played by Constance Zimmer, who, as I said, she's imperious, very chic. She has this wonderful sort of long bob haircut, very droll. She's got a drinking problem. She's very brutal in the way that she deals with her underlings, and especially in this very, I'd call it an almost... it's a relationship that's incredibly toxic between her and Rachel, who I guess we could call your sort of alter ego in a sense. But tell me about her. I mean, we often hear a criticism levied at powerful women who are toxic in the workplace, that their rise to the top meant that they had to sort of adopt the most mercenary and psychopathic traits of the predominantly male workplace. Is that how you see her?
You know, it's funny, I see Quinn in a lot of different ways, and I think that, like, while Rachel may have been my alter ego when I was 25, I feel like I've actually been more in the world of Quinn in my later and more adult life. But I feel like when I think about Quinn, I actually think she's sort of the most ethical person in the world, because she at least tells the truth about what she's doing. She doesn't pretend to be a good person. She doesn't pretend she's anything other than what she is, which is an absolutely pragmatic reality television producer who's going to get her shot no matter what.
Well, this is fascinating. This is fascinating. Sorry to interrupt, but I can't resist pointing out that what you've done in this third series is you've got Rachel coming back from this retreat, this kind of mystical spiritual retreat, where the sort of mantra was, I'm not going to lie from this point in. I'm going to tell the truth. How is her very sort of moralistic or moral high ground view on telling the truth different from Quinn's much more pragmatic view of telling the truth and speaking it like it is? Because you've contrasted them deliberately here, haven't you, these two viewpoints? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the thing that I was really interested in terms of Rachel going off to her goat farm to float around in the water and think about being completely honest is that it's very hypocritical, and it's really very self-indulgent and full of shit, because she's lived her life and made her money by telling lies and by lying to people and manipulating people. And while I respect and am excited for the idea that that character might actually get out and get healthy someday, it's very clear to me that she's still a workaholic and an addict and very codependent with this person, her boss. What I see with Rachel is that she's more of a hypocrite, and it's a lot more juvenile than a very adult point of view that Quinn has, which is that she just admits what she's doing, she does it for money, and she does it for power, and she's at least clear about that. And there are some moments baked into the show, like in the pilot of the show, the first episode ever, there's a line that I put in there that I feel is really, really important, which is that Quinn says, "It's not my fault America is racist." And the irony of that line, of course, is that it is partially her fault. She actually is one of the people producing racist television.
The Bachelor and the Bachelorette has in real life, has kind of has attracted a lot of criticism for its what's perceived to be racist casting, its predominantly white casting, and so forth.
Yes, it has. And so that was something that I was very interested in sort of exploring and unpacking a bit. And so I'm not saying that Quinn's perfect, but I just think that it's in terms of sort of, you know, people's response to Quinn being like, oh, my God, she's a dragon lady. She's a ball buster. I see her as a very pragmatic person who became the person that she had to be to get her job done. And who's just sort of a creature of the world, you know, of the world that she's been in. And I think there's a lot of emptiness in Quinn, and there's a lot that she's filling up with work as well, and a lot of sort of emotional pain that she's avoiding in her life by working all the time and just sort of being obsessed with power at work. But I also have a lot of respect for the way she does her job to some degree.
Well, Sarah Gertrude Shapiro, we continue to be transfixed by this, as I say, nightmarish but very juicy vision, I think, of factual TV. Thank you very much for joining me
The
Hub on Screen.
Thank you for such intelligent questions. It's like really a joy to talk to somebody who's got such good questions about the show. It's really fun.
Oh, no problem at all. Thank you very much for the compliment. Yeah. Okay, go well.
Yeah. Have a great one. Bye.
Sarah Gertrude Shapiro, co-creator of the hit show Unreal, which streams here on Stan. And the other creator of Unreal, by the way, is Marty Noxon, who created Sharp Objects, another big hit from 2018.